Thanks for the privilege to support you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It is an honor and a privilege for me to be here with you this morning and to serve you with the word. I want to just start by saying you guys are very fortunate to have Pastor Roy here. I hope you know that. I hope you tell him that. I hope you pray for him and encourage him. How many years have you been here? 19 years. 19 years. What an encouragement he is to me. Do you know that the average stay for a pastor in a Baptist church these days is 2.5 years? 2.5 years. How fortunate you are to have this man who has planted his life here to grow you in Christ. And what an encouragement you are to me and a friend you are to me. And I'm so grateful for you this morning. So this morning, Pastor Roy asked me to come and share about my ministry. I think what I would rather do, if you are okay with that, I'd rather show you a little bit about how I do ministry. Because I am not a gifted preacher. I'm not a powerful communicator. You're not going to leave here this morning and say, "Wow, those examples were amazing." That's just not who I am. I'm just a simple teacher. That's really what my gifting is and what I do. And so on Thursday nights when I meet with our Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I just kind of walk around with the students like this, and we dig into the Word, we roll up our sleeves, and we see what it is that God has for us. And so this morning, if you will, I hope you'll just kind of hang with me for the next. I'm going to start my stopwatch right now. I've been given 30 minutes. My dad said, he always said growing up about the preacher, if you couldn't say it in 20 minutes, you couldn't say it. So my dad was wrong, but there was more clapping for that than there was, you know. Very good. But I'm going to try to keep it brief this morning, and we're going to try to dig into this passage together, and I'm going to hit an issue that is, it's an issue that our culture is just dying in, and it's even more magnified on my campus. And so we're going to look together in the book of Luke, chapter 18. We're going to start in verse 18, Luke 18, 18. And while you're turning there, I want to frame our discussion this morning with a question and then an acronym thing here. The question is this: if I were to say to you this morning, you have to boil yourself down to the very core of who you are. It's kind of like, it's been a long time since I've had chemistry, but they tell me like an atom is like the smallest bit of a substance that is that substance, okay? If we were going to boil you down to the smallest part of exactly who you are, what would you say you are? Think about that for just a second. What at the very core of your being would you say you are? Okay? Because this morning, we're going to talk about identity. I hang out with ROTC students, and they have in the Army, any Army personnel, former Army personnel, BLUF, does anybody know what BLUF means? They have this acronym they throw up. BLUF is bottom line up front. That's what they want. We don't have time for the fluff. Just give us bottom line up front. So let's start there this morning. Here's where we're going. The very core of who you are is your identity. Identity is who I am. Okay? And we get this confused. Okay? And you'll see the person in this passage gets it confused. From your identity flows your purpose. Purpose is why I am. Okay? There's what or who I am, then there's why I am. Purpose flows from identity, and then out of your purpose flows your calling, which is how do I live out who and why I am. Does that make sense? Okay? If it doesn't now, maybe it will later, but that's BLUF. That's bottom line up front. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about identity. And so we come to a man in the scripture who has an identity crisis, okay? He has an identity crisis. And so he comes to Jesus. He's labeled as the rich young ruler. And in verse 18, it says, a ruler questioned him, being Jesus, saying, "Good teacher, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack. Sell all you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Let me pray for us real quick. Father God, I am just a simple teacher here this morning, and I'm not equipped to be here speaking, but for some reason you have put me in this place, and so Lord, I am depending on your Spirit to bring clarity and power to these words. God, I believe that you want to say something specific to each person here in the room today. And so I pray that you would open hearts and minds. And I pray that through the teaching of your word, that you would change us. Change us so that we may live lives that bring you more honor and more glory, for you so richly deserve it. I pray those things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so the rich young ruler has an identity crisis, and you can tell because of the question that he asks. I spend a lot of time listening to my students' questions because I find out a lot about them by their questions. I find out where they are, what they want to know, where they think they're going. I often find out my students ask the wrong questions, and sometimes what I have to help them do is ask the right questions. For instance, students come to me all the time and they say, is it all right if I have a drink as long as I don't get drunk? And the questions that my students ask when they're asking that, really what they're asking is, I know there's something that's wrong, but I want to see just how close I can get to wrong before I'm actually wrong. Right? They love to play with fire, my students do. And so they'll ask questions which basically show their heart as, I want to have fun, and I think that's fun, and I want to see how far I can go before I actually do something that's wrong. And the question my students need to ask is not, how far can I go and still be okay? The question they need to ask is, does my behavior bring honor and glory to God? That's the question they need to ask. And so I'll turn it on them. Well, does having that drink bring honor and glory to God? Explain to me how that happens. Okay? And then we have a discussion from there. And so this rich young ruler, you get kind of a peek into his life because he says, or he asks, good teacher, what shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the perspective of the rich young ruler just jumps out on the page. What is he saying? He's saying, Jesus, I believe there's something I can do. In a minute, he's actually going to say, and I think I've already got it down. I'm just kind of looking for your affirmation here. Tell me I'm okay. But he thinks there's something that he can do to get to eternal life, okay? It's interesting that he uses the word inherit here, because inherit applies less about what you do and more about who you are, doesn't it? I mean, think about the things that you inherit, your eye color, the hair or lack of hair that you may have, right? I mean, that's all inherited. Those are things we get from people we have relationships with, right? And yet he's focused, it seems like, on the doing part, but somehow uses this word inherit. And so Jesus is going to push back on this guy. That's what he's going to, just like I do with my students. And he's going to push back on the question that the rich young ruler is asking. You want to do this? Okay, all right, let me tell you how you can do this. And so Jesus initially responds with, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." No one is good except God alone. I think Jesus is saying a couple of things here. I think what he's saying is, I want to remind you, since you've just called me good, I want to remind you that only God is good, and you're not God. Okay? So let's be clear up front from the beginning of this discussion, you are not good. Okay? And I think Jesus is also saying, we kind of see this kind of as we look back into it, and by the way, I am God, and I am good. And so I understand this question that you're asking me, and I have the answer for you. Okay? So then Jesus points the man to the commandments. It's only fair if I'm going to teach here and not preach and whatever that I'd let you do what I let the students do. So interact with me, all right? You have freedom. I'm doing a dangerous thing here. I'm inviting you to interact with me, all right? And I mean it, okay? Why do you think Jesus points to the commandments? Nobody can keep them, yes. So why does he point to them? To show them he's not, to show him he's not good, okay? And somebody else said? It convicts you of sin. Okay, good. It's interesting that there's another story in the Gospels where Jesus meets a man who thinks he has the law pretty much down, and then Jesus tells this story about the Good Samaritan. You remember that one? Again, he points to the law and it convicts of sin. All right? And so Jesus points the man to the law and he says, "You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." The law is in general, it's divided into two basic parts. It basically in half, okay? And one half is about your relationship with God, and the other half is about your relationship with men. And so when Jesus talks about the entire law hangs on these two, what does he say the two are? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, right? And love your neighbor as yourself. If you get those two right, then you'll have the halves of the law. Okay? And so he starts with the rich young ruler on the part that deals with your neighbor. And the rich young ruler says, got it. I nailed that one. No problem. From my youth, I have kept all of those. Now, I don't, it's just me, I don't think he's being honest there. Okay? I think Jesus could have pushed on him there a little bit. But Jesus kind of says, okay, well, let's just move to the other half, just so we can have this conversation. And so the man in verse 21, and he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. And when Jesus said, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. What is Jesus pushing on? His relationship with God. And what else is, and what other relationship? To the poor, yes. To man. To his stuff. To his stuff. All of those things, right? The rich man has an identity crisis. The rich man thinks he is what he owns. He thinks at the very core, if I had asked him, what are you? He would have said, I'm a rich young ruler. That's how the Bible identifies. We don't get this guy's name, do we? The Bible identifies him as the rich young ruler. At the core of who he is, that's how he would have answered that question. And Jesus pushes on that because you cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven if at the core of who you are anything but a child of God. You get that? If at the core of who you are a good guy. I'm the good guy. That's how I want to be known. Well, Jesus pushed on that just a minute ago, didn't he? If at the core of who you are is, I'm the smart one. Okay? I'm the pretty one. I'm the strong one. I'm the whatever it is. If you are at the core something different than, if your identity is wrapped up in something different than, yes, something different than Jesus, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, this is eating my students' lunch. It is killing them because they are all wrapped up at the core. They're trying to find their value. They're trying to find their significance in things other than being a child of God. And that can be easy for an athlete to find their identity as, I am a baseball player. I am a volleyball player. I am a field hockey player. I am the person who broke the school record for home runs this year, Ryan Uhl, okay? This previous school record for home runs was 12. He was sitting at 28 last I checked, okay? But you can see how it's easy to get your identity wrapped up in that, okay? Tanya Timko, senior tennis player, has today, Lord willing, we're hoping, will break the last record in the record book that she does not own in tennis in our school history. She owns every record except one. And if she wins her doubles match here in a little bit, she'll have them all. You can see how that might be her identity. ROTC students, man, those of you who are in the Army owns you. That's what they preach, right? It's very hard to find your identity in something other than, I'm a soldier. And I would argue that for us, in culture, it's a big deal too. Because you meet somebody, and what's the question that you ask them? Hi, I'm so-and-so, we're so-and-so. What do you do? What do you do? Well, did you hear me bluff a few minutes ago? What you do is not your identity. What you do is calling. It flows from purpose and identity. And if you've got calling at identity, you got it mixed up. That's not where you want to be. Okay? And I would even say, this is a real hot topic where we are in our culture. It's a real hot topic where we are on my campus. Sexual identity, we are at a crisis point. Okay? We are at a crisis point. Just this week, I'm sure you're aware, the Supreme Court started to hear arguments on whether or not they will make gay marriage legal across the board in the United States. States would no longer have the right to determine what's going to happen in their state. Okay? And it's at the very crux of the issue with homosexuality, it's an identity issue. And people are saying, this is who I am. And because this is who I am, you cannot deny me this right or that right. Does that make sense? And on my campus, they agree. And most of my students, they don't see anything wrong with that. And I'm going to tell you, if your sexual identity precedes your identity as child of God, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. God doesn't let it work like that. There is one identity that we must have first. We must be children. Either we are children of God or we're not. That's another thing. Let me pause here and say that. We are not all God's children. And you say that on my campus and you'll get something thrown at you. Okay? But we are not all God's. Those who are God's children are the ones who have accepted Jesus Christ and live in relationship with God. That's what he wants, relationship with all of us. Okay? He wants that. He made a way possible for that. And he paid a high cost to make that possible. And so he invites us in. But if we don't take him up on that invitation, then we're not his children. And he lets us make that choice. And so we're at a crisis with identity in our culture. And the rich young ruler comes face to face with it right here when Jesus says, do you love me more than you love your stuff? Are you willing to be my child more than being the rich young ruler? I've struggled with this. Let me start this by saying it this way. I was talking to some friends. I've started running with the ROTC cadets, and I promised myself 5 years ago I would never run. I would never swim. I just hate that stuff. Anybody ever been there? Okay. And I got started with these athletes and these ROTC cadets, whatever, so now I do 5Ks and mini triathlons and all this ridiculous stuff. But I was talking with my friends who have done marathons. I will never do a marathon, never, okay? And they were talking about these people that they run half marathons and marathons with, and these people will pick stuff up along the way and carry it with them. I'm thinking, are you crazy? Do you realize that takes extra effort? So they were talking about this one guy. They went and did a half marathon with him, and he strapped on a backpack, and he had a six-pack of beer in the back. And that's what he was taking with him for 13.1, I think it's 13.1 miles is the half. And you look at him and you say, what in the world are you thinking? But I'll tell you what, when it comes to identity issues, we do the same thing. We're on this journey, we're going somewhere as children of God, and we pick up all this garbage and try to take it with us. We do. For me, I grew up wanting to be the smart kid. That's who I was. That's what I wanted my identity to be. I wanted to be the smartest guy in the room. And so I would do stupid stuff like every day when I was coming home from school, I would put all my books in my backpack and take them home. Right? Because the bigger the backpack, the more homework you had, the smarter you were. Right? That tells you how smart I was up front, right there. Right? So as a kid, every day, throw all your books in there, make sure your friends know, I'm reading, I'm studying, I'm smarter than you. And at the end of the year, my backpack, if it lasted a full year, the straps on the back would be like ripped off, they'd be hanging by threads, you know? And we do that in life. Satan lies to us. He wants us to pick up as much garbage as we can along the way and drag it with us with our identity so that we hold on to things more dearly than we hold on to our Lord and Savior, so that we'll get weighed down along the journey. And somewhere along the line or at every different points along the line, Jesus will have to say, hold on, here I am. Do you remember me? Because it's time to put down your stuff. You need to put this down. Whether it's you're the smartest guy or you're the hardest worker, maybe some of you have been there. I'm going to be the hardest worker. I'm going to be the first one in. I'm going to be the last one out. Okay? And your value comes from your work. Maybe you're the holiest person you know. And your value comes from that. Maybe you're here this morning because you're this rich young ruler trying to be good enough. Jesus, am I going to make it? I'm here every Sunday. I'm teaching. I'm leading. I'm singing. Understand, you're putting calling in the place of identity, and that's not healthy. Hear me. Jesus is way more concerned about who you are than he is about what you do. Because you can do a ton of stuff and be wrong. But if you are the right person, what you do will be right. Okay? Jesus is way more concerned with who you are than he is with what you do. And so here we go with the rich young ruler. Verse 23. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus can't give up my stuff. Holding on to that too tight. I love that stuff. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. I'll be honest with you, I don't know exactly what's going on here. I've heard different commentaries about this. Is it impossible, you know, because it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? Is there this gate in Jerusalem where it was hard for camels to get through, and that's what he's, I don't know. I'm just going to take it literally and just say it's hard. It's hard for wealthy people to give up their stuff, either because of what their stuff means to them or because they really worship what they did and it brought them stuff. Okay, that's the hard worker. That's the person who, man, I'm just so smart, and all my wealth, it's validation for my, It's really hard, I think, it's really hard to lay down success, things that we celebrate, things that make us successful, and keep them from being our identity. That's just who we are. That's part of our sin nature. And so the rich young ruler said, and Jesus said, it's a tough choice for you. It's hard for you to do. And the people around said, then who can be saved? Verse 27, but Jesus said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. You can't do it. People can't do it. There's only one way to inherit the kingdom of God, and it has to be inherited. It's based on relationship. And you have to be willing to lay everything down at my feet and cling only to me. With God, that's what Jesus is saying, with God, it's possible. And so that's what we're trying to teach our students. We're trying to teach them that it's great that you're a softball player, but softball player is not who you are at the core of your being. Softball player is how you bring God glory. So your identity is child of God. If your identity is child of God, what's your purpose? Bring God glory and honor. So we all share the same purpose. That's what we do. We bring God glory and honor. Now, what's my calling? Well, that's how the Holy Spirit tells you to live in your context in the way that gives honor and glory. My calling is campus minister. That's my calling. And for some people, that's a softball player. And for some people, that's a coal worker. That's a calling, y'all. Do you understand that? We tend to put calling only on professional ministers. Absolutely not. We are all called to bring God honor and glory through our gifts and our talents and what he has given us. And so that's what we do with our students. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. Wherever you are, maybe some of you this morning have never laid everything down for Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. And maybe at the core of who you are, you've never accepted that relationship and become a child of God. This morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I always give my students a chance to respond. Jesus gives the rich young ruler a chance to respond. I want to give you a chance this morning to respond to that. Maybe this morning you have been a child of God for a while, like me. But along the way, you just picked up a lot of junk for the journey. And you've wanted to be things that put those things in your identity that God doesn't want there for you. And this morning, I want to give you a chance to just lay those things down before him. And say, God, to you only will I cling. You are what I need and nothing else. And then as we do that, I want to encourage you, we lay all this stuff down. Jesus does call us to pick something up. This is not a once and done thing. This is a process. And he calls us daily to pick up our cross and follow him. Lay down all of that junk. Every day, choose me. Every day, choose me. And when you do that, you get purpose and calling right. You get the best life ever. You guys believe that? Because I believe it. I don't make a ton of money. I don't. My job is hard some days. I'll tell you what. My job is heartbreaking most days. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because it's what God has given me, and it is a fantastic life. That's what I'm going to invite you into this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute? If you have never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that this morning, if you want to say, I realize, Jesus, I can't do this on my own, and I need to become your child. I need to accept what you did on the cross and become a child of God. Then just there in your chair, quietly to God, would you repeat after me and pray these words? Jesus, I can't do it on my own. I'm grateful that you did it for me on the cross. Right here today, I want to become a child of God. I want my identity to be as a child of God. So I'm laying down all my junk. I'm accepting what you did on the cross. And I'm going to live my identity, my purpose, and my calling through you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've been a Christian for a while, however long that's been, and you've picked up a lot of junk along the way, I want to give you a chance to respond to God in this way. Just pray this prayer after me. God, I've picked up some junk along the way. I've been confused about my identity, confused about my purpose, confused about my calling. Jesus, I lay it all down today. And I will live to bring you honor and glory from this point forward. Now keep your eyes closed and head bowed for just a minute. Pastor Roy, come on up, please. And I'm not asking anybody to come up to the front this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything. But I think it's important that we respond publicly to what Christ has called us to. The rich young ruler, he was out there when he made his response. And so this morning, while everyone's eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if you prayed this morning for the first time to become a child of God, would you just slip your hand up and down quickly, so that Pastor Roy and I can see it and celebrate that and be in prayer for you as you begin your journey. Okay. And if this morning you've been a Christian for a while, but you see yourself in that rich young ruler and you made a decision to say, I'm going to be different from here on out and I'm going to live the way Christ has called me to live. If you prayed that prayer, would you just slip your hand up quickly, please? Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Friends, maybe you didn't respond now, but God has said something to you. Don't be the rich young ruler. When the Spirit speaks to you, respond. Amen. Amen.
I'd ask you to turn to